Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Our topic today is on the Holy Spirit and being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I know it's a topic that perhaps you've wondered about. How can I know that I'm filled with the Spirit of God and all that He wants me to be? That's our topic today on Hope Sabbath School. And I'm glad you joined us. And welcome to the team. What a great series of studies.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit and spirituality. And by the way, if you missed any in this series so far, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. While you're there, there's all kinds of other series of studies and resources that are available to you. And we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members. We get emails from around the world, and we share it with the whole team, not just our participants, but our media team, because it's encouraging to see what God is doing. So you can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. First, a note of thanks to Christine from Australia. Thanks for writing to us. What a blessing you are to everyone who tunes into your program, she writes. My husband died last year. Since that time, your programs have given my life more meaning and hope.
Amen.
Amen.
That's so powerful. I feel you're part of my family now. All my friends tune in and watch Hope Sabbath School and learn from the Bible study. God bless you all in your ministry. Christine from the Sunshine Coast. Well, Christine, we're sorry to hear about the death of your husband, but we have hope in Jesus, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
We're going to talk about the wonderful hope we have of the Spirit being with us and in us as we prepare for the soon coming of Jesus. Here's a note from Springs. That's an unusual first name, from Kenya. I don't think we have anyone from Kenya on our team today, but Springs says, Hope Sabbath School is indeed a blessing in my life. I am a Sabbath School teacher at my church, and I usually download your outline to teach my class, plus I watch the interactive study. I've been following Hope Sabbath School since 2011, and I worship at, hear this, Kahawa Garrison Adventist Church, the first Adventist church established on a military camp in Kenya.
Wow.
May God bless you as you continue to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Well, Springs, we're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School, but more than that, you're a Hope Sabbath School teacher. They're in Kahawa Garrison. And we're just glad that you download the outline. By the way, if you're watching and you'd like to become an in-depth, interactive teacher of the Word of God, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the outline that we use in our class. Tens of thousands of people download that, not to bypass study, but as a map to help them when they're teaching. So we're glad, Springs, that you're doing that there in Kenya. John writes from California in the United States of America. Anyone from California on our team? You've lived there before, Andre, and so is Kyle. John writes from Cathedral City. I've been listening to Hope Channel, and I use Hope Sabbath School summary as a perfect preparation. Recently, I traveled to Indonesia to help build some classrooms for schools. During these trips from Java, Hope Sabbath School was my best choice to follow me wherever I went. Thank you for putting it together, and God bless you. Well, John, thanks for being a missionary back there. It sounds like that may be your homeland with a last name of Sinaga from Indonesia. You're sharing the love of Jesus back home. God bless you. One last note from Mona Lisa. Now, Mona Lisa lives in the UK. But she's actually from Zimbabwe. So we have a multinational Hope Sabbath School family, don't we? Mona Lisa says, I'm living in Manchester, England, but originally from Zimbabwe. My son Caleb and I love Hope Sabbath School, mostly on Fridays, and we can't wait for you to come back the next Sabbath. We like to sing the scripture songs with you. Mona Lisa says, I was not born into the Adventist church, but God had a better plan for me. My son preaches to me. Caleb 7, by the way. My son preaches to me and sings the scripture songs, and he's learning a lot. We're so blessed. May the Almighty God bless you and this precious ministry until Jesus comes. Well, Mona Lisa, That's a famous name. We're glad you're a follower of Jesus. And Amen. You tell your son Caleb, you know, Caleb was a mighty man of faith in the Old Testament scriptures. You tell him we're glad he's learning more about the Bible, about Jesus, and hiding God's word in his heart. That's what we're going to do right now. We have a scripture song for this series. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, I have to sing the song in order to get the list right. I hope you've learned it. You can download it from our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. The sheet music is there as well as the MP3 file. But I think many of you have already learned it. So let's sing it together.
Gentleness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control.
You know, as we hide those scriptures in our hearts, it's amazing. But it helps you to remember each one of those.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's easier when you sing it. Gentleness and self-control. And all of those are gifts that the Spirit brings. But you know, the greatest gift of all is the gift of His presence.
Amen. Amen.
The love of the Spirit who loves us so much. And today as we study about the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit, we're praying that people will be supernaturally blessed. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us. And the Spirit spoke to the prophets, and that testimony was written down and preserved for our learning. Even as we read, the Holy Spirit wants to be our teacher, to lead us into all truth. And I thank you for the gift of your presence by the Holy Spirit, even in our Hope Sabbath School study today. May the truth be revealed to us that would bring us freedom and joy as we walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, many, especially those who are Christians, have heard of the expression, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are they the same? What do they mean? How do you experience the baptism or the filling of the Spirit? And what happens to you after that? Is it just kind of an acquisition in the Christian life, or is it given for a special purpose? These are all important topics that we'll look at in our study today. But as we begin, let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. John the Baptist is about to baptize Jesus, and he's been told a prophecy, which we'll come to in just a moment, but let's see what happens. And Stephanie, would you begin our study in Matthew 3, 16, when Jesus comes to the River Jordan and is baptized?
And the New King James puts it this way. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him.
So here is the first reference, certainly in the ministry of Jesus. Was the Holy Spirit with Jesus before he was baptized, Kyle?
Yes.
Absolutely. He's filled with the Spirit, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So what is the significance of this visible manifestation, the anointing or baptism of the Spirit at his baptism, do you think? If the Spirit was with him before? Daisy?
I guess it was a confirmation of who he was and what his purpose, his mission as the Messiah was.
Okay,
for those who are watching.
That's very important. In fact, John the Baptist will testify the Spirit told him, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend. So it's a confirmation. This is not just another repentant sinner, but it is actually the Holy One of God, the Messiah who's come. Why else might this event have taken place with the baptism at the River Jordan, even though the Spirit was with him prior to that time? What do you think?
I think it was the beginning of something new. I mean, his ministry was just, in a sense, starting. His public ministry was going to be starting. So maybe it was the indication that a special outpouring of the Spirit was going to be taking place at the opening of his ministry.
Kind of a marker at the beginning of his messianic work. Yes, Alyssa.
I think also as an example, we know he was baptized as an example, and we learn later that you're not only to be baptized with water, but also with the Spirit. Yeah. And so his baptism had to have both of those elements to be a true example.
And was visible. It wasn't like, oh, I've been baptized by the Spirit, but there was this supernatural sign, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Baptized with water and the Spirit. Nancy?
And also, I wanted to point out that the whole Godhead was there at Jesus' baptism.
That's right.
Because the Father then said, "Behold, my Son in whom I am well pleased." Mm.
Yeah, that's a beautiful reminder, isn't it? Father speaks, the Spirit descends, and the Son of God who has come into the human family in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, they're all together. And I just imagine angels sing, don't you?
Amen.
Yes. You know, hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, praise the God. Holy,
Amen.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy, Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
So there's the first indication. Now, this was a fulfillment of a prophecy. Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. Mark 1, Puya, would you read Mark 1 and verse 8 for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "I indeed baptize you with water, but he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
So this baptism of the Spirit wasn't just for Jesus, right? What was the prophecy? What was the prophecy that we just heard? What's going to happen when the Messiah comes?
We will be baptized
with the Holy Spirit,
yeah. Right?
Right? Not just Jesus. Acts 1 verse 5, Jesus confirms the prophecy that John the Baptist gave. Acts chapter 1. Nicole, do you have verse 5 of Acts 1, a confirmation of what Jesus had prophesied? Excuse me, a confirmation by Jesus of what John the Baptist had prophesied.
And I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
And when does that happen?
Pentecost.
Well, you say in a few days, right? Because it was fulfilled.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost. That's right, Acts chapter 2. But it doesn't stop on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Acts chapter 11 and look at verses 14 through 18. Acts chapter 11, Jason, verses 14 through 18.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 11, verses 14 through 18. "Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life."
I love that response, don't you? It's not like, well, that's supposed to just be for us. What do they do when they hear that the baptism of the Holy Spirit's come upon the Gentiles too?
They praise God.
Glorify God.
Amen.
Praise God. This blessing is not confined to us. John had also given an indication that this was not just something for Jesus or just something for the 12 disciples or even the 70 or the 120 in the upper room. John chapter 1, this is not about John the Apostle who wrote the book, but about John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. Juliana, would you read that for us?
Yes. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Now, what you notice is that that's a present tense, baptizes. Mm. It's not baptized. Mm-hmm. It's not like finished. Mm. It's ongoing. Mm. Right. And the baptism comes from Jesus by the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit of God. So here's my question for you. What is the relationship between water baptism and the baptism of the Spirit? Alyssa said it was important even with the baptism of Jesus. He's setting an example for us. Remember, John the Baptist said, you don't need to be baptized. Baptism of repentance. No, I need to be baptized by you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, allow it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Yes. But what's the relationship between water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Jason, what do you think?
Well, I think for me, water baptism is more a public representation, a public example of what has already happened with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm. So there are things that go on behind the scenes, but then you make it public and you show everyone through water baptism what has taken place inside of you.
Okay. I was tracking you part of the way, but then I got a little confused because I thought the baptism of the Spirit came after the water baptism. The moving of the Spirit may lead me to baptism.
Correct.
But maybe we should ask, is it possible to be baptized by the Spirit and not yet baptized with water? Ooh. Is that possible?
I believe so.
I think so.
We say, yeah, if the person is open, maybe they don't know about water baptism yet, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. How do I know, though, that at least God's intention would be that those two events would be linked together?
Jesus' example.
Exactly. Right? When Jesus is baptized, it's not like several months later he was baptized with the Spirit, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a connection between the two.
Yeah, there's a connection. And for Jesus, it was the beginning, you know, like we said earlier, of his ministry, of his public ministry. So there's a connection between, you know, the water baptism is a symbol of your giving your life to the Lord, totally being renewed. And then the Spirit baptizing you is a symbol of God equipping you for service.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I would most logically think of them in that order. But I think, Jason, you challenged us to think that a person who doesn't yet know about water baptism, but's fully open to be filled with the Spirit of God, that's possible. Well, let's look in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. Here's a story of some people who received water baptism, but didn't know about the Holy Spirit. So that's possible too, Sean. Let's see how that reads in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 4.
Okay. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Mm. And he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ.
Now, if you go on and read verses 5 and 6, and maybe we should do that in just a moment, he's going to say, was there anything wrong with the baptism of repentance that John taught?
No.
Absolutely not. Jesus set an example, didn't he?
Right.
Repent, Peter says, and be baptized.
Yes.
But Paul's saying, but there's another blessing that can come, not only water baptism. So I'm going to ask you to go on, Sean, and read verses 5 and 6. Okay. We're still in Acts chapter 19. Everybody's still there. Acts 19, verses 5 and 6. Let's see what happens after they hear this news.
So continuing in the New King James Version, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Mm.
So it's like there's another blessing for you. And I suppose, Jason, if it was the other way around, a person fully open to God, filled with the Spirit of God, baptized by the Spirit, that someone might have to say, there's another blessing for you, and that's the water baptism, mm-hmm. which is an outward sign, as you said, Kyle, of an inward change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always more to learn. Now, how can we be certain that we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Mm. Or can we? How would you respond, Andre? How can we be certain? Apparently, it's important. Water, being baptized of water and the Spirit, how can I be certain that I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit?
Well, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in my life.
Amen. Amen.
And we know what that is from our song, right?
From our song, yeah.
Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Okay.
And supernatural power accompanies the manifestation of the Spirit in one's life.
Okay, so you would look for the fruit or maybe the gifts, which with the abilities that are given, special gifts are given. Anybody else? How can I be certain? Yes, Alyssa.
I guess I was thinking a little bit about Romans 8, where it says in verse 15.
Do you want to read that for us?
I will, yeah.
Give us a moment. We have to find it first, all right?
Yeah, Romans? This is Romans 8, and I'm going to read verse 15 and 16.
And what translation do you have
in today? The New King James Version.
All right, Romans chapter 8. Verses 15 and 16, and the question we're asking, how can I know for sure that I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How does that read in your Bible?
Right. So it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
So answer the question then from that powerful text. How do I know if I've been baptized by the Spirit?
I love how it says it witnesses with our spirit that we are God's children.
So you'd say, I will just know deep in my heart.
Yes.
Huh? The fruit, the gifts to know deep in my heart. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Puya, what do you think?
And I believe my interest will change. You know, the things that I like to do before would change now that I'm being baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so you'd say a tree is known by its fruit. By their fruits you will know them.
Right.
That there'll be changes that will happen because I'm baptized and then filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. Juliana?
I think you'd also be more interested in spiritual things. Mm-hmm. You become more aware of the spiritual things that are around you.
All right, so there would be maybe an intensification of spiritual sensitivity, which kind of ties in with what Puya was saying, Kyle?
Yeah, and I would add to that, we talked about fruit of the Spirit, but I always think about verse, I can't remember the reference, but you know where it says in the Bible that if we say we love God, but we don't love our brother,
yes,
then do we really have love for God?
That's John chapter 4, yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. So if we don't love other people, if we don't have a true love for them, if we don't have a burden for souls, are we really baptized by the Holy Spirit?
And we read in this series about the love of the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
So that comes back to there are going to be some changes, right?
And I guess to add to that, you know, I believe one of the benefits of the Spirit is to be a blessing to others. We look at Jesus' example. Right after his baptism, he went to be tempted and then to serve, to begin his ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that it's also for us to be a blessing to others, to, you know, for the rest of humanity.
So the question we started with was how can a person know for sure that she or he is filled? You've given me a lot of things, service, change of attitude, fruit of the Spirit. It is also as simple as the faithfulness of God. The Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. If you love me, Jesus said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You're going to keep my commandments. You're going to pray. We're going to talk about that later. But the faithfulness of God is really all we need to know. Yeah. Regardless of how I feel in the moment, right?
Yes.
If I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me, to baptize me, and we're going to learn that's a daily journey of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Regardless of how I feel and whether any service or change of attitude is evident in the milliseconds. The faithfulness of God assures that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Kyle?
This is a little can of worms, but I mean, to also say that you don't have to speak in tongues to know that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, because some people do believe that that is how you know.
But well, like in the book of Acts, they do speak in other tongues.
Right.
But in other places, I'm going to hold you from unpacking that a lot, because we come to that later in the study, how the evidence is, because other people speak the word of God boldly. Mm. That's preaching. But if I've got to communicate with people who don't understand my language, God may give me another gift. So let's hold off on the evidences if we can. And I want to move from the baptism of the Holy Spirit to being filled, because there are texts about, is that the same thing? Is the baptism and being filled the same thing? Let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Andre, do you have that for us?
Yes, I do. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit."
Be filled with the Spirit. One other text in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. Kyle, do you have Acts chapter 13? You're on your way there.
I am.
All right. Nicole, you have it.
I've got it.
Acts
got it.
Chapter 13.
She can have it.
Acts chapter 13 and verse 52.
Sure, I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice something really important here. The baptism of the Spirit happened at Pentecost. Time has passed, but it says here they're full of joy and
the Holy Spirit.
Full of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to the believers, don't quench the Spirit, right? Be filled with the Spirit. So what's the relationship between baptism and being filled with the Spirit? Someone explain that to me? Yes, Puya.
I believe the baptism happens at one time, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a continuous event where we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to challenge that. Do we not need a daily baptism of the Holy Spirit, or is it just a one-time event? I understand what you're saying. Being filled with the Spirit is the consequence of the baptism of the Spirit, but is the baptism a one-time event, or is it a daily experience? What do you think, Andre?
Well, at first I thought you meant the original water baptism, but now I understand that definitely every single day we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
It is a necessary event every day.
And then we live with our lives
filled with the Spirit, right?
Yes. Because we have received that baptism, that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let's do a little computer search here. You know, I appreciated Alyssa sharing a Bible text earlier, and you go, how did she know that text? That was a great text in Romans chapter 8. And the answer is, she's been reading her Bible, right?
Amen.
And that's, I just want to encourage you, and I hope Sabbath School members around the world, just want to encourage a systematic reading of the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible, not just for a specific study, but read through the Bible, the great stories of the Bible, the great teachings of the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will bring that word to your remembrance.
Yes.
So you think now while I talk to the group, what? Who comes to mind as an example of a person who was filled with the Spirit? I'm thinking particularly here in the New Testament, but you could go to the Old Testament too. Some of you go, she was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Anybody? Yes, Puya.
Well, the first person that comes to my mind is Elisha from the Old Testament.
Okay.
Remember when he followed Elijah, and before Elijah was taken up to heaven, he was asked what he wanted. He said he wants double portion the Spirit that Elijah had. And God did answer his prayer request. So, you know, after that, his ministry was filled with miracles and God was with him. So I believe we have a lot of lessons to learn from the life of Elisha.
Amen.
And you would say from that, it's not inappropriate to ask to be filled with the Spirit, right? We'll talk about some conditions, because the Spirit might respond, I would love to fill you, but this thing, some things that have to happen in order for that supernatural event to occur. Elisha, thanks for sharing. Andre, another?
In the New Testament, Paul.
Okay.
There's no doubt that in his life, when you look at all the incidents in his life, even when he was before King Agrippa, where he could have just simply said, I'm a Roman citizen, and been released. Instead, he was so filled with the Spirit and so passionate about the gospel message that he preached it to Agrippa. And Agrippa, said, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian.
So many examples with the Apostle Paul. He was zealous before, Saul of Tarsus, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. How do I know he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you need to watch the whole series.
Right.
Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will always point to me. So this man, Saul of Tarsus, was forcing people to blaspheme the name of Jesus and putting them to death if they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit, right? But he was changed.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Well, we've had several suggestions. I'm ready for a woman who's filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Anyone have one? Stephanie?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
She
was filled
with
There's
the
actually
Holy
a text that I'd like you to read in Luke chapter 1. And verse 41. Luke chapter 1, you have that text?
Yes,
verse 41. We're not just guessing here. Of course, these were all great examples. But there are a few verses that speak specifically and says the person was filled with the Holy Spirit.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Oh. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Wow. In the same chapter, while we're there, Ray, maybe you could go to verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, just so that the men in our Bible study don't feel left out. Because here's a woman filled with the Holy Spirit. But now in the same chapter, Luke 1 and verse 67.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Luke 1:67 says, now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying.
And then it goes into this amazing prophecy, which, by the way, in our study, we've shown that the Holy Spirit can bring revelation in a variety of ways, right? Mm-hmm. He can impress the mind. God can put words on my tongue. We can actually hear the word and write it down. Or he can guide us, like with Dr. Luke, in putting a perfect account of the life and the teachings of Jesus. So being filled with the Spirit. I want to go to Acts chapter 4 now, because I think when we're done with our study today, we'll say, well, the baptism and the daily experience of being filled with the Spirit is really important. Yes. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Nancy, do you have Acts 4? You're on your way there. Someone have it? Alyssa?
I do.
You read Acts 4 and verse 8 for us?
From the New King James Version, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel.
And then he goes into this amazing speech. And what's remarkable about that speech, which includes there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you remember it says they took note of the boldness. Mm. He's speaking filled with the Spirit. What a contrast. You know anything about his story before? What happened before when he's in front of a hostile group of people?
He denied Christ.
He denied Jesus. That's right. He says, I don't know him, right?
Yeah, and I was going to use him as one of the examples of people filled with the Holy Spirit, like in Acts 3, because before we see him denying Jesus, then we see him, you know, with the crippled man in the temple, in the name of Jesus, I mean, the faith, you know, the Holy Spirit, and we see him progressing, just the Holy Spirit using Peter in a mighty, powerful way. That's clearly evidence of the Holy Spirit working in someone's
life. And that ties in with what Puya and Juliana said earlier about there's some amazing changes that occur in a person's life when she or he is filled with the Holy Spirit. But it gets better. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, Acts 4 and verse 31, Kyle, if you could read that for us, because it wasn't just Peter who was filled with the Holy Spirit. I love this verse, Acts 4:31.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Mm-hmm. Now, that comes back to something, Carl, you said earlier, because in some places they spoke in other languages, right? In other tongues.
Right.
There's this multitude from all different countries in the day of Pentecost, right?
Right.
But here, They're not speaking in other languages, but they're speaking the word of God
boldly. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But what was the key word in that verse? Jason?
All.
All.
Yes.
Everyone present.
Amen. Everyone present.
Amen.
All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's a wonderful, it's an assurance for all of us, isn't it?
Amen.
We don't say, well, maybe that would happen to Andre, but I don't know if it would happen to me. So that brings another question I'd like you to think about with me. How important is it to receive the baptism and to live filled with the Spirit of God? Is that optional for the more dedicated of our number? or is it essential?
What do you think?
From what we've studied so far, Andre?
I would say it's vital because God knows we have a formidable foe in Satan. He not only sent his son, but he left us with his spirit and knows that without his spirit on a daily basis, the enemy will have an opportunity to confuse us, tempt us, and otherwise. And I wanted to add, back in Acts 19, not just speaking boldly is not the only sign that the spirit is with us, because the seven sons of Sceva, they adjured that spirit that was in the demon-possessed man, but in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
They spoke boldly, but they didn't speak the word of God boldly.
Hello. Yes, right.
They spoke something boldly, but you're absolutely right. And of course, the Holy Spirit brings us to the word and always points to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But you're saying vital.
Yeah, vital.
To receive the baptism and to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, you'd say vital. Alyssa?
And I don't know about anyone else, but without the Spirit, I know myself, and I'm so weak, and I'm so sinful, and I don't even desire to do God's work or change unless I have that. So even the desire for God is a very good indicator that the Spirit is already working in you, and so necessary. I don't think we would want it otherwise.
So you would say, why would I want to decline a gift that is vitally important?
Amen.
I want you to go to a text with me, which actually it startled me a little. I don't know if this has happened to you, where you read the Bible and you've read it many times, but you read a text and it startles you. There's something there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. And I'm going to ask Stephanie if you'd read that. It's not that I didn't believe it, but it just kind of arrested me there as I heard these words. Romans 8 and verse 9.
And from the New King James Version, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Mm. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his."
Mm. Mm. That's strong, Jason.
Very strong.
What is that saying? Put that in other language. Can you put that in your own words?
If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not with Christ.
Wow.
Vital?
Vital, essential.
Jesus said, if you love me, that means you've accepted him. You're in a relationship. We've heard that word a lot, haven't we, in this series. God wants a relationship with us. I'm going to send the precious gift of another
comforter,
another helper to be with you.
Yes.
And he says even in you, right? Yes. And, don't reject that gift. That's not peripheral, optional.
Right.
Sean?
I was just going to say that's the only avenue you have to receive the mind of Christ.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the mind of Christ, if you don't have that spirit that dwells within you, later on it says, how can he raise you up? How can we get to heaven without having the indwelling of the Spirit? That's what makes it so vital.
So the Holy Spirit who led you to sense your need of a Savior and to accept Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, is the same Holy Spirit who wants to lead you in your new life, right?
Yes.
Why would you want to say, well, thanks for leading me this far? Because he who began the good work is going to complete it. Well, we need to move on to another aspect, and we kind of got toward it, Kyle, a little earlier in the study, about the conditions for receiving the gift and the evidences for receiving it. But I think these are important, especially after, Andre, your word vital. If it's vital, then let's talk about what the conditions are for receiving the baptism and living a life filled with the Spirit, and then what the evidences are. So what are the conditions? Well, let's start in that day of Pentecost, Juliana, in Acts chapter 2, because you said that's when the baptism comes to the disciples, fulfilled as Jesus had promised. What do you read in Acts 2, verses 37 and 38?
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Amen. So there's actually two things, that, conditions in that text, aren't they? Mm-hmm. What was first?
Repent.
What does that mean?
Repent. Turn
away.
Before you turn,
ask for forgiveness.
To recognize.
You recognize that you're a sinner. And we know the wages of sin is
death.
Sin separates us from God, from the life of God. So we recognize our sin, and you use the word turn, right? Yeah. I turn away, but I don't just turn away. I turn to something.
To Jesus.
I turn to Jesus, that's right. Because Jesus is the solution for my problem,
Amen.
Right? He's the Savior. So repent and turn to Jesus is a condition. Is that right?
Yes.
So maybe a person who's not turned to Jesus may have the Holy Spirit leading her or leading him, but not the baptism of the Spirit. We'll get some emails about that, right? Certainly the Holy Spirit's leading everyone, but leading them to Jesus, right? But repenting of our sin and turning not only away from sin, but to Jesus.
Just want to make a quick point that repentance itself is a gift that only God can give us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we need to come to Him. The Holy Spirit leads us, you know, when we're away from Him. He guides us to even give our lives to Him. So we've got to come to God just as we are, and allow God to give us true repentance, and that will enable us to then receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we've asked, we've recognized our need, turned to Jesus as Savior, but Luke chapter 11, here's the teaching of Jesus, Luke 11 verses 8 through 10 and verse 13, and I'm going to ask Jason if you'd read that for us. You say, Derek, this sounds so simple, but it's important because it's vital to receive the baptism and to live being filled with the Spirit. What does Jesus say?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and also verse 13. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And verse 13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen.
What's the key word?
Ask.
Now, it's interesting. In Matthew's account of the teaching of Jesus there, Matthew says, your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask. But it's almost like Luke's saying, well, maybe Jesus restated that and said, by the way, let me tell you what the greatest gift is, the greatest gift of all. But we need to
ask.
So if it's vital to receive the baptism and to live filled with the Spirit, why would God make it necessary for us to ask? I mean, we've repented, Puya, turned from our sin and turned to Jesus. Why does he make it necessary for us to ask to be receive the baptism and to be filled with the Spirit?
I believe by asking, we realize more of our condition, and we open our hearts more. You know, if it's something that we just get it, you know, right away, maybe we'll take it for granted.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, we're saved, right? If we've turned to Jesus and accepted him as our Savior. What do you think, Daisy?
Yeah, I notice there's like two faces of it, because the Spirit is still there working on us, sinful on our sinful nature, to get us to turn away from our evil ways. And then the point where we ask, that means we're actually willing to work together with the Spirit to accomplish the purpose that God wants to accomplish. So the Spirit still works before, but he still needs our permission to work together to accomplish.
Amen. Amen.
You know, some people are uncomfortable with what Daisy just said. They're like, he's sovereign God. Why would he need your permission? Oh, Nicole, what do you think?
Well, he doesn't want us to be forced. He wants us to have choice, because once again, we talked earlier in the prior lesson about enabling us to be a part of the process. And when you ask, you're actually actively seeking something you want. You don't just get anything. You don't. So it's yours telling God, I really want this, and you being available to accepting it and using it as a part of your life.
Yeah, does it startle you that the omnipotent God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're all involved in the work of salvation and recreation, right? Mm-hmm. Would pause to ask our permission? Mm-hmm. Does that startle you?
No.
It doesn't startle you?
No, because he loves us.
Okay.
And he wants us to choose him. He doesn't want to just force himself upon us. And so his love is, I'm willing to let you choose me because I love you that much.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a powerful illustration, because anyone who knows in relationships, you can't force a person to love you.
Sure.
You know, you can't force love upon a person. In fact, something that's forced isn't love, is it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's the very essence of God that he respects our freedom to choose. Nancy?
And I wanted to talk a little bit about Zechariah, because we read a verse about, you know, how he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. But when he was initially approached by the angel Gabriel, he didn't really believe that, you know, his wife would have a baby. And so I think, and then he became mute. And so I think God gives us an opportunity sometimes when we're not ready to receive the Holy Spirit, we're not really trusting him. He gives us an opportunity, kind of had a space of time to just kind of think about what it is that God can do. And then he was ready. Then when they were at the circumcision, he was ready to prophesy, and he was, yeah.
That's an amazing story. Yeah, he couldn't speak or hear. He was mute, right?
Yeah.
He was mute.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear, because they had to make signs to him. They could have talked to him. But some people go, that was kind of mean to just, you know, do that to him. But it actually became a supernatural sign that something significant.
Yes. Amen.
And I love what he said at the circumcision, as you mentioned. What would you call him? And instead of going, well, I think we should go, he says, his name is John.
It's already been decided.
I'll argue with you. But the Spirit of God was with him when he prophesied.
That's right.
His tongue was loose then. And I'm so glad that God gives us other opportunities, right?
That's right.
He wants to fill us all with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
But there's one other condition, or it's an identifying mark of those who receive the genuine baptism and are filled with the Spirit. They not only repent, turn from evil, and turn to Jesus. They not only ask him, and as Christians, we ask in Jesus' name. Don't we don't demand anything of God, but in Jesus' name, he says, if you ask in my name, I will do it. But I want you to notice John 14, verses 15 through 17, and Acts 5, verse 32. And then I have a puzzling question for us. John 14, and I'm going to ask Puya if you could read verses 15 through 17 of John 14. And then someone, if you would find Acts 5:32, will read that also.
Sure, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you, will be in you.
So Jesus says, I want to give the gift, a special gift, another, one like, remember? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, Jason, you taught about it's numerically different, but in essence the same, right? Mm-hmm. One in purpose and mission. Another helper, one just like me, Jesus says, I want to give him to you. And the condition?
Obedience.
Well,
love me.
Oh, thank you, Alyssa. I think that's even before, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you could have obedience out of, I'm going to do what's right so I can get the present. Right.
Yeah.
No. It's a loving obedience.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes. Let's look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, which ties in. But I think it's good to read both because you could misunderstand and think it's just a like forced obedience rather than a loving obedience. Kyle, do you have Acts 5, verse 32?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to go a little deeper here, if I may.
Yep.
What is the most important act of obedience to God?
To love him.
Love the Lord your God.
Love the Lord your God.
With all your heart, soul, and mind.
You'd say, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And what is it that he most wants from us?
Our heart.
Your life.
Surrender.
Heart. Surrendered heart.
Relationship.
Is it not to turn to Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And be saved that we can be forever in a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it is not just don't eat this food.
Right.
Which, by the way, could hurt your body. Or don't drink this beverage that could ruin your brain. Or, you know, remember to return a portion of your income to show you honor God. It's not just that. The greatest act of responding to God, obeying God, he says, come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah.
Call upon my name. Mm. Be saved.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Loving obedience.
Yeah. Amen.
A condition, you say, well, I'm still imperfect, right? But God knows my heart. Mm-hmm. A fruit, it's both maybe, isn't it?
Yes. Mm.
A heart that's saying, Lord, just show me what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. I'm in relationship with you. Just show me, and I want to follow you. Andre?
I just was going to say that God offering his Holy Spirit to us is the most intimate form of relationship.
Yeah. Amen.
And so it just, that alone makes me, comforts me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to go to Galatians chapter 5, because earlier in our study, we talked about evidences of a spirit-filled life, and certainly an evidence in Acts 2 is speaking in other tongues. An evidence in Acts 4 is speaking the word of God boldly. Mm-hmm. And both of those are important, but they're not the only evidences, Stephanie, are they? So let's look at chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16, and then verses 22 through 26. And in the middle of the passage that Stephanie reads, we'll hear our scripture song. We'll all start singing Fruit of the Spirit. But that's even not all of it. It's part of it. So I want you to listen to verse 16 and 22, is it, through 26.
Yes.
And then I want to ask you, what impacts you the most here as you think about evidence of a spirit-filled life?
Amen. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
What impacts you, Jason, the most about that? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, but you're saying it's vital, Andre. Mm. I repent, I turn to Jesus, I ask to receive the baptism and to live a life filled with the Spirit, a daily experience, and I want to walk in loving obedience. Amen. Things are going to change. What impacts you the most in what Paul shared here?
So when I see those verses, I see the list of the fruits of the Spirit, and sometimes that can become like a checklist for me. But then I see verse 25, living in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So I say, okay, so it's not just this checklist thing. Mm-hmm. It's this constant daily walk moment by moment, which then I look at myself and I'm like, wow, by God's grace, this is quite a list, and I can't do this on my own. I definitely need the Spirit Amen. To get me to this point.
And that's why it's a daily walk. Daisy.
I think the part that stood out to me the most was verse 24, mm-hmm. where it says, I think your version says, have crucified, but it mm-hmm. says, a New Living Translation says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires mm-hmm. of their sinful nature to the cross mm-hmm. and crucified wow. them there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know how we're struggling? Paul says, the things I want to do, I can't do. It's like, I'll... nature is against God. We desire the things He hates. And so to actually crucify those things that you really like, that's a bold step, you know, to put away those things that you're drawn to. It takes, like he said, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit Amen. To let you do that. Yes. And that stood out to me. Amen.
And what if I'm not strong enough to do that? What if I'm not strong enough? By the way, do followers of Jesus struggle with some of this stuff?
Yes. All the time.
So, Juliana, what do I do if I'm not strong enough to do that?
You have to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to take over your life. You know, I'm thinking verse 26 here is, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We just constantly need the Holy Spirit to remain humble
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen.
I hope you've been blessed by our study today. We've been talking about the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's not about saying, oh, look how filled I am. You know, I'm very fruit laden or whatever. It's about wanting that intimate relationship Amen. With God that changes everything in our lives and will be a blessing not only to us, but like Ray said, service to others. And again, not trying to earn their love or favor, but because we can't help let the love of God flow through us. What an amazing invitation. Wouldn't you like to pray today, God, give me the baptism of your Spirit today. Yes. If you need to repent and turn to Jesus, if you haven't done that, do that today. Ask Him to fill you. Let your life be changed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, if there is someone here who's never repented and turned to Jesus, I pray that person would do it today. But I pray for each of us a daily baptism of the Spirit. We would walk in loving obedience, and that you would be honored in all we do, in all we say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you'll stay with us for this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. We have more in store that can not only bless your life, but bless others. But just remember, God wants you to receive the baptism and to live filled with His Spirit.